victory looks a lot different than what I see. Somebody catch it in a minute. Victory tends to look a little different than, than this picture that I see. People, I see people that look comfortable. I see people that look content. But victory has a different picture.
Come on, Pastor.
People who are normally victorious tend to sometimes get outside of themselves. Just think back in your mind for a moment at the time when you won something. I don't care how cool you are, Mama. We tend to kind of get a little excited when we win.
Yeah.
You know, or your team wins a championship. You know, we, right now we got this Mr. Miyagi face. Which is, I'm talking about, that's different. That's when you push somebody, you see them win, so you have this bit of pride. But when you win, Austin, when you win, I don't think you sit there with your hands in your pocket. I think when you win, you tend to kind of be up. Not only are you up, but you tend to get loud. That's the picture of victory. When we win, we tend to kind of get outside of ourselves. And so the song says that we have victory in Jesus. I love words. I love words. And so the song says we have, that's present tense, victory in Jesus. We have victory in Jesus. And so the promise over your life is not predicated on your present situation. Some of us feel everything but victorious. But the word of God decreed that you are have victory in Him. And so the picture of victory ought to look a little bit different. I said the picture of victory ought to look a little bit different. I said the picture of victory ought to look a little bit different. Sometimes by faith you gotta celebrate what you already won, what you're fighting for. And so when you realize that you are victorious, to celebrate before we move on. Today is Father's Day. And we have two different perspectives. Somebody got a chance to grow up with an awesome father that poured into their lives. And so for that, you've been given keys to victory. That's one reason you ought to celebrate. Somebody grew up without the impact of a father. But your Father in Heaven made sure that you got to this point in your life. And so even without, you had keys to victory. So that's the reason why you ought to just give God a just a little bit of a celebratory point.
Let's go to the safe.
my life.
Yeah.
And salvation.
Yeah.
Whom shall I fear? Can I read it again? I said, the Lord is my light.
Yeah.
And my salvation.
Yeah.
Whom? Yeah. Boom. 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 It's a small word, but it's packed with a whole lot of power.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Whom shall I fear?
Yeah.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom? For just a moment, I want to use as my subject. I can handle it. I can handle it. Hashtag confidence in Christ.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, I can handle it. You might be, seated by the wrong somebody. That person didn't give you as much feedback as you would love. So you ought to find the other neighbor and just say, I can handle it.
I can handle it. Yes, sir. My confidence is in Christ.
And give one for the Father, one for the Son. So we can't leave out the Holy Spirit. You ought to find your third neighbor and just high five them and say, I can handle it. Hashtag confidence in Christ. Allow me to first of all say congratulations to those Golden State Warriors. For that triumphant season and winning the NBA championship. But most of all, I want to celebrate them for their moment of redemption. What do you mean, moment of redemption? Well, it was this time last year where they took a commanding 3-1 lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they squandered what we know as a golden opportunity. And whether you are a fan of theirs or not, we ought to be able to at least be able to be able to relate to the fact that we've all had to suffer through what we see as an embarrassment and failure.
That's right.
Whether you're a fan of Golden State or not, you ought to be able to at least relate to what they had to suffer through, through the embarrassment and the failure of their loss. The truth of the matter, though, is at some point in all of our lives, we've all had to suffer through or we've all squandered golden opportunities. At some point or another, all of us have missed out or even messed up at a chance to be better. And although you didn't deserve it, aren't you glad that God gave you another chance? And although you didn't deserve it and you don't deserve it, aren't you glad that God still gave you your moment of redemption? He put us in a situation to win, and every now and again we still squandered the chance and had moments of selfish ambition. But I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad this morning that even though I've messed up, God just rerouted me and put me on back, put me back on course for my destiny. Even after I've messed up a time or two, God has just rerouted my destination and he'll put me in track for my destiny. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for which he loves us, says even though we were dead in our trespasses, can I translate that? Even though we messed up, even though we've made a lot of mistakes in our life, Paul said he has made us alive again and raised us up together and made us sit together in high places. Paul says it's by his grace and not our works. It's the gift of God, unless we should boast. In other words, can I say to you, if you're confident about anything, be confident in the fact that your Father has it all figured out and he's working it out according to your faith. If you're confident in anything, be confident in the fact that he will not let you fail without a fight. Jeremiah said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. I don't know how you feel about it, but I shall remain confident that he's going to bring me through. I don't know how you feel about it, but I shall remain confident. Is there anybody here who's confident in the Lord? That David says in Psalms 27, David says, the Lord is my light Let's look at this thing in its proper perspective. Listen, 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 17 is closely associated with Psalm 27.
Okay.
It's in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 17 that the text lets us know that David, who was up in age at this point in his life, was yet locked again in battle with his longtime nemesis in the Philistines.
Okay.
And we know that David to be a great warrior. But the text lets us know that in this battle, David grew weary.
Yeah.
And so when the descendants of Goliath, you remember Goliath, the one that David slew with a slingshot,
yeah.
When one of his descendants saw that David was weary, he looked at an opportunity to take David out.
Uh-huh.
When he saw that David was vulnerable, he sought out the opportunity to take David's life.
Yeah.
But it was the son of Zariah showed up on David's behalf, and he fought against the Philistines so David could survive.
Yeah.
But watch what the man says. He says, David, never again will we allow you to go back in the battle with us unless the lamp of Israel be extinguished. Notice in this passage that they identify David as the lamp or the light of Israel. In other words, what they were trying to suggest to David was that if the light went out in him, that it was lights out for them. That if the light went out in him, that it was lights out for them. In other words, what they were trying to say was that they were confident in David as their leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were confident that during David's reign that Israel would be sustained.
Right.
They were confident that as long as David lived, that they would survive.
Okay.
But over in the 27th Psalm, David said, and I'm paraphrasing, David says, although I'm grateful for your vote of confidence,
yeah.
He says, I need you to know that your confidence is misplaced.
Yeah.
David said, it is not I, but the Lord
yeah.
is my light.
Yeah.
David says, you're looking at the wrong somebody. It's not I, but the Lord is my light. It's interesting that David identifies the Lord as his light. I need you to understand that the light is symbolic of the presence of a holy God.
Right, right.
And you do know that the first thing that God spoke in the beginning was, let there be light. Somebody just mentioned. I said the first thing that God spoke in the beginning was, let there be light. The first thing, somebody said first thing. The first thing that God spoke in the beginning was, let there be light. In other words, first things first. See, God had to establish, first of all, he had to establish his presence in the earth. The first step, somebody said first step.
First step.
The first step in the conversion of a believer is that God calls you out of the darkness to do what? To come into the marvelous light. Let me fix it up in a way that you can grab it. Listen, in the old church, we used to say that first giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Some folk came out of the Baptist church, you understand that thing, don't you? First giving honor to God, who is the... Before you can say anything else, I need you to understand that it was protocol to say first giving honor to God, who is the head. But before you could recognize the pastor, you had to say first giving honor. Before you could recognize the first lady, you had to say first giving. Before you could recognize the deacon board, the mother board, the missionary, or whoever, you had to first recognize and prioritize God. Can I suggest to you that, listen, your life will be in shambles if you do not recognize and prioritize the presence of God in your life. You have to prioritize his presence.
Yeah.
In other words, you just gotta put him first.
Yeah.
In other words, you gotta put him first. Yeah. You do know that he is the Alpha and the Omega.
Yes,
he is the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Some folk go so far as to call him the author and the finisher of the. The reason why you ought to put him first, because the Bible lets us know that he is the first and the last. David said, the text lets us know that David grew weary in battle, but David said, even though I grew weary, I never got worried. Why, David? Because he says, I know the Lord to be my rock in a weary land. Is there anybody here who knows that if you put him first, everything else will fall into place? I said, is there anybody who can testify that when you put him first, everything else will fall? If you put him first, everything else will fall. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. The psalmist says, if you just delight yourself in the Lord, says then he will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, you have to put him You have to put him first. I think the mistake that we make is we put everything else before him.
Amen.
We put, sometimes we put our careers in front of him. We put our nice houses that he allowed us to purchase in front of him. There's nothing wrong with loving your children, but sometimes we love them even in front of him. He says, God says, put nothing or no one in front of me. That was the first commandment. The first, somebody said the first. The first commandment was put no other God before me. They asked Jesus, what's the first and the greatest command? Jesus says to love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Sometimes you just got to put him first. I told you last week that sometimes we put him out of position. And when we put him out of position, we tend to get out of order. David said, the Lord is my light and salvation. That word salvation in the New Testament almost exclusively relates to being saved from the power and the dominion of sin. When a man believes in his heart and he confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus, it is then that salvation is assured. Yet in the Old Testament, the Old Testament, the word salvation means to be delivered. The word salvation means to be set free from the snares of the enemy. The word salvation means to be protected from harm. Therefore, when David declares that the Lord is my light and my salvation, what David is saying to us is that it is the Lord who has ensured he has ensured and will ensure my safety. David is saying to us that it is the Lord in whom I am safe and by whom I will be saved. In other words, David is suggesting to us that if you can be confident in the fact that God got your back. David is trying to suggest to us that you can be confident in the fact that God, somebody say, God's got my back. Somebody here doesn't quite believe that. Let me hurry and give you some proof. David said, I got some proof for you. David says, when I came against both the lion and the bear, I could remain confident because I knew that God would deliver me. David said, when I came up against a giant named Goliath, I could stand in front of him 10 toes down confident because I knew that God would deliver me. David said, even when Saul sent a whole army to seek my life, David said, I could remain confident because I knew that the Lord would deliver me. Watch this. This is the reason why you ought to celebrate God. Because you never had to come against a lion or a bear. Nobody sent a whole army out to take your life. You didn't have to deal with some of the stuff that David had to deal with. But can I suggest to you that the reason why you ought to remain confident is because you didn't have to go through what David had to go through. So surely, somebody shout surely. Surely you can get through. It's not suggesting you won't have struggles in life, but what David is trying to suggest is that if you just remain confident, that the salvation of the Lord will see you through. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear anything because the Lord is with me. Can I suggest to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Can I suggest to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you? In other words, God's got your back. There's nothing like being able to call for some backup. Some of y'all got some big brothers, so you know what it's like. I'm going to go get my big brother on you. Ever had a schoolyard bully that used to mess with you, and you like, hold on, let me go get my brother. It's not five of us, so you ain't going to pick on me, because everybody, that's how we were taught. If you picked on one, everybody came to help. Matter of fact, you got in trouble if everybody didn't jump in. I don't know about you. You had backup. Can I suggest to you that, listen, your brother and sister may not be able to have your back, but God's got it. When you're going through cancer and chemo, your brothers can't help you through it, but God's got your back. When you're going through a financial drought, somebody may not be able to bail you out, but God's got your back. When your husband walks out of you, can I suggest to you that God will never leave you because he's got your back? When your wife turns her back, can I suggest to you that no matter what, yea, though you walk through the valley, God's got your back. That text says through the valley of the shadow. You can't have a shadow without the light. So no matter what situation you're in, the light of the Lord is hovering over you, I need you to understand that God's got your front, your middle, and your back. And I suggest you got all the backup you need. I wish somebody was excited at the fact that God's got your back. David says, y'all looking at the wrong somebody. I know I'm a bad man, but I'm only bad because he made me bad. I know I've done some things in my life, but everything that I've done, I did it with his power. I need you to understand. David says, stop looking at me. Look at the true light. I know you confident in me, but David said, I got confidence. I'm confident in Jesus. I'm just trying to empower somebody today. I know you may feel weak and helpless. You're going through some stuff that you don't have an answer to. You can't figure out. You can't write a check to get yourself out of it. You can't even make the right phone call for somebody to make me to turn something for you. But can I suggest to you that if you just go in your war room?
Yeah.
Wait before the movie came out, Grandma had a war room.
Yeah.
We used to call it in her secret place.
Yeah.
Grandma would go in her prayer closet and Grandma could get on the phone with Jesus.
Yeah.
There was a song that says he's on the main line. And you can tell him what you want. I know all y'all got these new smartphones and you got everybody in your contact, but how many of us got a contact with Jesus? God's got your back. God's got your back. I wish if you don't leave with anything else, I need you to catch that. God's got your back. I can remain fearless. Why? Because God got my back. I can start my business because God got my back. I can walk away from some old relationships because God got my back. I'm not too old to start over. Why? Because God got I'm not too young to start again because God's got my back. My reputation was messed up, but so what? God's got my back. Yeah, I came out of a dark place. About the police, but one thing they know for sure is when they get in trouble, they got a radio and they call for backup. But I don't know what it is about the body of Christ. When we get in trouble, we get quiet.
My God.
When we go through stuff, we get quiet like everything is all good. And God is standing there just waiting on you. You ever seen I grew up on Channel 5 Wrestling Richards. And when one dude had been worked over too long, he breaking his neck to get over to that corner so he can tag his backup. Whatever he could do, he had to crawl, he had to roll, whatever he had to do. But when he tagged his backup, you ought to high five somebody and say, I got backup. When he tagged his backup, the backup came in the ring and handled, even if it was 3-4, he came in there springing on everybody. I need you to understand that when you tag in the Lord will jump in your battle and fight every one of them. You don't have to do a thing but stand there and watch. When you tag the Lord in your situation, the reason why some of us are struggling because we ain't tagging the Lord. You on Facebook tagging everybody else, but how do you tell if you tag Jesus? Here's the truth. The truth of the matter is that I can preach until I'm blue in the face. But some of us will leave here today still affected by fear. Even after you hear this, you still may walk away from this place with doubt. I don't know how you might sound, but you might sound a little something like this. Come on, hit me up, Ray.
For he will never leave you or forsake you, they say. So there's no reason to run, but that's easier said than done. I try to hide the anxiety I'm draped in, the complacency I'm satisfied with, and the never-ending laziness that my soul has found a home in.
Come on. God's got you back. Come on, get you back.
With the curtains drawn, I'm alone as I sink into myself, the quiet and the darkness always seemed easier to entertain than answering the calling that was placed on my name. So I'll just rest here. Not too much to regret here, no fears to face here. Besides, Who can blame you for not being more when you were the least bit courageous to begin with? No one can criticize you for succumbing to pain if they don't know that's what you're dealing with, but that's what I'm dealing with. A bed that's everlastingly cold that I can't seem to wake up from, bones that are fragile, broken, piercing their way through a soul that I no longer recognize, eyes like floodgates, and I can't swim. I've been drowning every day, so I ain't never, ever scared to die. And even though that's a lie, my pride will make me believe it. Conceiving ideas of grief and underachievement like that's ever been in God's plan for me. But what do you do when the hopes of success and love's conquest makes your insides feel like they're bleeding? As I fall to my knees, I'm confused and needing, too weak to be strong, but too strong to be gone. I'm petrified of being just like a tourist in my own body. I'm just here for sightseeing. Believe me. Believe me when I say I never imagined it to be like this. But when God came and knocked on my door, I just wasn't ready, so I had to go the other way. At this point, I can only hope that he's still waiting, because it's never easy being astray.
Yeah.
But they say that he will never forsake you,
yeah,
and that he'll never, ever leave you.
So David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. But he doesn't stop there. And he says, who should I add in there, or what shall I fear? As I look at the text, I've come to the conclusion that David sounds amazingly confident. He says, the Lord is my light. You have to say it like baby. The Lord is my light.
Yeah.
You know, when you got something, you know it.
Yeah.
You say it all confident.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about you.
That's all right, man.
So roll up if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, somebody criticize your cooking. I know I can cook. Somebody criticize your person, you know you got together. Nah, I know I can drift. So when you read the text, you got to read it like David said. David says this with confidence. He says, the Lord is my light.
Yeah.
And my salvation.
Yeah.
What I got to be scared for?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. Who?
What shall I fear?
Yeah.
I've come to discover that David sounds amazingly confident.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that I noticed, Mon, is that there's one thing that separates good athletes from great athletes. Mm-hmm. There's one thing that separates good musicians from great musicians.
Well,
there's one thing that separates a person of faith from a person of great faith. And that one thing is confidence. Confidence in God. But can I suggest to you that if you humanize these biblical characters and see them for who they really are, you will understand that they were men with great fears. They were men with real families. They were men with real faults. They were not always highly favored. They had made real mistakes in their life, and they were not always financially fixed. But what they had was great faith. And so David, who was as messed up as any man, the reason why David says, I can handle any situation, is because I know that the Lord is my light. David says, I can handle any situation because he is the strength of my life. The word of God declares that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So therefore, if your confidence is in him, you ought to be able to handle any crisis that comes your way. In other words, can somebody say, I can handle it?
I can handle it.
You can handle me.
Yeah.
Come on, Mama, help me out. So David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yeah.
Whom shall I fear?
Yeah.
And so if you examine David's life, I told you last week that David was the shepherd boy who got anointed.
Yeah.
The anointed one who became a soldier.
Yeah.
The soldier who became a hero.
Uh-huh.
The hero who became a fugitive. And the fugitive who became a king.
My God. Yeah. Look at God.
David had promise over his life.
Yeah.
But even more so, David had problems in his life.
Yeah.
David had purpose over his life.
Yeah.
But David still had problems in his life.
Yeah.
And the reason why David could face every one of them as cocky as David could face them is because David realized, David says, I can handle
them. Yeah.
When David was chased out of the kingdom, David says, I can handle it.
Yeah.
When David was betrayed by his own son, David says, I can handle it.
Yeah.
When his own mentor tried to take his life, David says, I can handle it.
Yeah.
When his father didn't even think enough of him to invite him to the party to be looked at, David said, I ain't studying it, I can handle it.
Yeah.
Can I encourage you that no matter what you're dealing with today, you can handle it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There may be a father out there who had been fatherless. But can I speak to your spirit? You can handle it. I know this Father's Day, and fathers are oftentimes overlooked. Brother, you can handle it.
Yes, you can.
I'm speaking. Ladies, let me speak to my dads right quick.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
We know that almost every time a relationship deteriorates, it's our fault. Brother, you can handle it. Even though you don't make as much as her, you can handle it. Many of us have wives who are very independent. And sometimes it causes our ego and our manhood to fold. Brother, stand up because you can handle it. There may be a woman in this room who doesn't have the luxury of having some male help in your life. Lady, you can handle it. You got a whole lot of kids and no help. Mama, you can handle it. When you get to work, if they only knew what you had to get through to get there, but they still criticize you. And sometimes it's hard to be a boss, but you can handle it. Sometimes the Lord wants to test you by way of sickness. My brother, my sister, you can handle it. So in the skit, we had a fictitious character in fear. Mm-hmm. And that's like real life.
Yeah.
Fear is a fictitious character.
Yeah.
Fear is nothing more than false evidence that appears to be real.
Yeah.
The children of Israel feared what Pharaoh would do when he caught up with them. But history let me know that God would never even let him get close.
Yeah.
So they were scared for no reason. False evidence. They just looked at somebody on their trail and they got scared and was ready to fold them. False evidence that appeared to be real. And there's some stuff that you're looking at right now in your own life. It's false evidence, but it looks real. You can turn on almost every television station and as a reality show. It looks real, but it's scripted. False evidence that appears to be real. But I wish I had a few people who were confident enough. Don't let the world, listen. When we tend to get confident, people turn that against us.
Right.
Like it's a crime to be confident.
Right.
I really don't think Kobe could care less if you thought he was confident or cocky. He says, I'm the champion. What you want, friends, or you want the people? You want the family?
Come on now.
You want to be favored, or you want to come first? I don't know about you, but I'd rather be successful and a champion in Christ, most of them being liked and loved by people.
Come on.
Most of us with the toughest task on our life will not be appreciated in life. Most of us are rewarded posthumously. That means after you pass.
Yeah.
People appreciate you when you're gone.
Yeah.
Yes, you can handle it.
Yeah.
Daddy, you might not get the daddy out of your award. You don't need it. He created you for this moment. You can handle it.
Yeah.
Mama, you might have to do it by yourself. But he created you for this. You can handle it.
Yeah.
That business that's been brewing in your belly started. And you can handle it.
Yes, God.
The dreams that God has given you, because nobody else talks about it, don't shout out. You can handle it. To be the difference in school, which is adverse to your culture, don't cower down. You can handle it. There's a promise over your life. There's purpose in your life. And I'm just here to challenge you to step out and be the person that God has called and created you to be. You can be fearless even in this season of your life. But the reason why I celebrate Golden State is not because I'm necessarily a fan. It's not about them. It's not about LeBron. It's about the principle that this time last year, they were failures. But if you just hold on.
Yeah.
I will remain confident. Let me tell you how Herbert said it. Herbert said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
Yeah. They shall mount up wing as an eagle.
Yes, God.
They shall run the fast break and not get weary. They can walk the ball up court and not faint.
Yeah.
They that wait upon the Lord.
Yes.
And as you wait on the Lord, wait in confidence, wait fearlessly, because if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. In other words, you can handle it. Come on, you ought to make a declaration all over this building. Somebody ought to shout, I can handle it. Somebody ought to shout, I can handle it. I dare you to speak to your mountain right now. I can handle it. Satan, even though you throw some distractions in my way, I can handle it. You might have thrown a lion and a bear in front of me, but I can handle it. My situation may look like a Goliath in my life, but I can handle it. Everybody might be after me, but I can handle it. Everybody might hate on me, but I can handle it. Although I got problems in my life, I remain confident in the purpose that's over my life. I can. Somebody shout, I can handle it.